Good evening, church. Would you join me tonight in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8? Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. I believe that's on page 917 in the Pew Bible. And we will begin reading in chapter 8, verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed. Some seed fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the sky devoured it. Other seed fell on the rock, which, when it grew up, it withered away, since it lacked moisture. Other seed fell among thorns. The thorns grew up with it and choked it. Still other seed fell on good ground. When it grew up, it produced fruit, 100 times what was sown. As he said this, he called out, "Let anyone who has ears to hear, listen." Then his disciples asked him, "What does this parable mean?" He said, "The secrets of the kingdom of God have been given for you to know, but for the rest it is in parables, so that looking they may not see and hearing they may not understand. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. And the seed along the path are those who have heard it, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the seed on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. Having no root, these believe for a while and fall away in a time of testing. As for the seed that fell on the among thorns, these are the ones who, when they have heard, go on their way and are choked with worries, riches, and pleasures of life, and produce no mature fruit. But the seed in the good ground, these are the ones who have heard the word with an honest and good heart, hold on to it, and by enduring, produce fruit." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we acknowledge our dependence on you. And so, Lord, tonight we ask that you would speak to us, that you would guide the words that are spoken, that they might be true to what you have for us to know. Lord, would you just be glorified in all that we do and say here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Imagine, if you will, a young man has come home and he's talking to his mom. He has just spent the day following this guy called Jesus. And his mom says, "Well, how was it?" And he said, "Oh, it was great. He is profound." His mother says, "Well, what did he say?" "Well, he told this story about some farmer throwing seed in the ground and different things happened to it." His mom says, "Well, what did that mean?" "I haven't a clue. But he's profound. I think we're going to go back next week to hear him." You say, "Well, that's kind of a waste, is it not?" But it records here that there's another group of people. They're called the disciples, who have spent time with Jesus. And they come to Jesus and they have the same problem. But the difference is they come to Jesus and they're looking for an answer. They want to know, what does this parable mean? And Jesus here gives them what is a perhaps a surprising answer, because he doesn't give them right away the answer to what. He tells them why he is telling the parables. Now, if you notice the setup here, Jesus has told a story. They ask a question, and then he essentially preaches the shortest, best sermon I think ever in human history. I've been preaching for a few years, but I'm not going to try and improve on Jesus' sermon. What I'd like to look at this morning is something really, I think, important for us to remember. And that is what he addresses here. How do we know? Now, I am by training a biologist. I'm not a philosopher, and we're not going down that road at all. But Jesus tells us here why we know. And I think this is important for us to remember, to know. Now, what is it that he says to them? They ask, what does this parable mean? He says, the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given for you to know, but for the rest it is in parables, so that looking they may not see and hearing they may not understand. He says, the secrets have been given for you, the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Now, those of us here in this room, I think particularly are my age, and many the rest of you, perhaps noticed this morning this very large group of college students that were up front. And I must tell you, college students, what joy it brings to us, to me, to see you here, to see a new generation coming to worship God. Yeah, and I think in terms of, as many of you know, I do a lot of pulpit supply. I think there are more college students here than in most of the churches that we go into and supply in the pulpit. It is an amazing thing. But some of you college students will some perhaps, and I hope this is true, at some point in your career, through hard work, through experimentation, discover secrets, perhaps in the field of science or medicine, that will radically change things. The secrets Jesus is talking about here, however, are not those. The secrets he is talking about here are truths that are not discoverable by human means. The only way we can know them is by them being revealed. And these truths are the truths about the kingdom of God. These are the truths about the kingdom of which Jesus is the king. The kingdom in which, if we are believers in Jesus Christ, he has called us into, not for a brief time, but through all eternity. And he is here revealing it to them. Now, he says to them that these secrets, these truths that I'm revealing, have been given to you. Now, let me ask, the children here, I think, are the experts in answering this, but in case I offend anyone on your age, if you were born after 1900, you can answer. But how many of you like to receive gifts or presents? Yeah. If you don't, well, you can see me later, but maybe I don't want to know. But gifts are special, are they not? You know, when our birthday comes around, when Christmas comes around, now, we all know sometimes we get socks or underwear, and that's not all that great. But sometimes we get really good presents. And sometimes we get something that we never even dreamed of. Something so special that it just changes our lives. What Jesus is talking about here is a gift. It is given. Now, by definition, a real gift cannot be earned. If it's earned, it's a wage. Jesus is here saying, these secrets have been given to you. And they're given for a specific purpose. They're given for you to know. Now, in the context in which we are looking here, he is talking to a specific group of people. It is a discrete population. It is the disciples. And at this point, and in this context, what he was referring to is to that group of disciples. It does not include anyone else, and he makes clear that their others are not included. But we need to point out here that this is about to expand, because it's not too far on when Jesus tells them to go out and to make more disciples. All of this is recorded in the Bible that we use to proclaim God's word, because God, in part, as part of this gift, has given us his word that we might know. You know, as I said, there's a distinction here. And in the second half of this verse, he quotes from Isaiah 6, verse 9, saying that looking they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. And this sounds ominous. Now, in the short period of time we have tonight, we can't get into all of this, but suffice it to say that he is saying that those who have rejected him are getting their reward. They don't want to know anything about God, and they're being granted that wish. Then knowledge is being withheld from him. But to us, to those who he grants this gift, is the gift to know. And that is to understand. In a human sense, it is to take information and make it usable. Now, most of us here know how to read. Some of the children here are going through a process. Some of you children are learning letters. Some of you children have learned now how to take letters and make words. Some of you have learned to take words and to read sentences. This is an increase in knowledge that is common to all human beings. But here, the knowledge that we are given to know is about the kingdom. Now, its purpose is not to give us big heads. It's not to swell us, to fuel our egos. It's not to create a secret society where, unless you know the secret words, you're not one of them. It is that we might know and understand God and his kingdom and all that is included here. Now, this carries with it a responsibility. As was said this morning, we can be so focused on God does this and we don't do anything. But it does carry a responsibility. And Jesus, in his explanation of what's going on, makes it clear here that there is a human element to all this. For the problems with the different soils is often directed at what the person is doing. Now, it talks about those who are with thorns, and they're choked out with worries, riches, and pleasures of life, and they bear no fruit. But who's responsible? They are. And on the good ground, it talks about to hold on to the word, to endure, to produce fruit. Dear friends, we have been granted a gift of understanding that we had no right to. We would never have found it on our own, no matter how hard we tried. And God says, and in carrying out what you've been given, you are to endure. You are to produce fruit. You're to bring glory to God. Now, this is not something to be taken for granted, and I will be honest, I fail to consider so often what a gift it is. You know, we talk of the gift of salvation, and that is the greatest gift we can be given. But just even to understand that, I think we all realize there are people all around us who it just doesn't sink into. Many years ago, I sent one of my Bibles on vacation to Mexico. I don't know if there are any rich Canadians there, but I sent it with a friend of mine from work. Her sister had come to know the Lord, and my friend Sue was struggling. It wasn't making any sense, and we had talked, and nothing was getting through, and I offered her. I said, I have an extra Bible. You're free to take it. She took it with her on vacation. She came back, and I said, What did you think? You had time to read, and I'd recommended she read the Gospel of John. And I still remember her response to me. She said, I don't really like it because it's contradictory. Okay, well, where's it contradictory? And she said to me, well, it says in the Bible, children are to obey their parents. And it also says that fathers aren't to anger their children. And I probably looked at her like she had two heads for a minute, but that's really not a good solution. And we discussed it and to this day, I have seen no evidence that she understood it. And I'm saying, that's not a contradiction. But it was so fixed in her mind. And I think many of us have dealt with people like that. This gives us an understanding of why. But it's not one where we gloat and say, well, I know and you don't. It's one in which I say, I don't understand why God told me. But he did. And I will bring him honor for that. I'd like to make sure that we keep reminding ourselves. Charles Spurgeon, the Baptist preacher in London in the late 1800s, was supposedly once asked what the most important truth he knew was. And he said, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. So I'm going to ask the children here tonight, would you be willing to help me? Sometime during this week, would you announce to your family, and if there's more of you than one in your family, which in most cases there are, pick different days, and I know I can trust you, and just announce to your family, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Now, parents, would you do me the favor of when they do this, and they will do this, taking some time to think as a family what privilege it is that we get to know God. What a gift that is. And for those of you who don't have kids or maybe in college or something, like, you can act like kids, one of you can remind the other. But dear friends, this seems like such a simple truth, and yet it is so foundational. The reason we know anything about God is because he gifted us with that knowledge. Father, what an awesome privilege it is to be able to come to you and call you Father. But Father, in many ways, it's even more impressive that we even know. Father, thank you that in your love, you sent your Son and took the punishment for our sin. And let us know what you had done. Bring honor and glory to your name through us as you work and cause us to grow. In Jesus' name, amen.